if in fact a crime was committed, it's already been committed. We can't change the fact.
The first moose down in this year's hunt is still under investigation, and a terrifying bear encounter has one Haines man relieved and biologists excited about the discovery it led to. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more just ahead. 11 moose have been taken so far in the annual Northern Lynn Canal moose hunt. As of Wednesday afternoon, that's four spiker fork configurations, three with three brow tines, two racks greater than 50 inches, and two sublegal bulls. Biologists say the hunt got off to a slow start in the area, but that the harvest in the Northern Lynn Canal is more active than in the Southern Panhandle. More on that later in the report. In the meantime, the state is still trying to suss out what exactly happened with the first moose kill of the hunt.
On September 15th in the morning, Trooper Merritt in Haines with the Alaska Wildlife Troopers received a report of a possibility that a moose had been killed the day prior, which would have been before the season opened.
Sergeant Matt Dobson is with the State Trooper's Office in Juneau. He said a response team of at least four people were part of the investigation of the first downed moose of the season in the Katsahine last week.
Trooper Merritt, another trooper, Jack LeBlanc, and fish and game biologist Ryan Scott went to the area. A state aircraft came and also assisted, and they contacted two hunters in the field, did investigate the site, and at this point are still investigating whether or not they felt that the animal was taken during the closed season.
The inquiry with the two Haines-based hunters is ongoing, troopers say. Follow-up interviews and evidence collecting should determine whether or not the harvest occurred before the season opened.
The kill site was inspected, and the carcass was inspected at the same time, interviews done with any witnesses and with the hunters themselves, and that's kind of where we're at with it.
Alaska State Troopers has several specialists in what they call wildlife forensics. Those officers weren't able to make it to the investigation, but guided the on-site troopers through evidence collection in the Katsahine last week.
And there is several areas throughout the United States that do specialize in that, determining body temperatures of animals and rate of cooling that meat cools in the field under certain circumstances. And so that's kind of part of the evidence that we're collecting, and we will be talking and have been talking with some of these other areas, other fish and game departments, other parts within the United States that specialize in that stuff. And we could submit that data to them, and from that they can help us determine what they think is a time of death, et cetera.
The U.S. Forest Service has a lab in Oregon that specializes in wildlife forensics. They deal mostly with exotic animal importing and exporting, but help in these situations, too.
And they can determine through DNA the species of animals that were killed, oftentimes the sex of animals that were killed. They can also at times compare DNA, similar to a criminal case, and say that a certain type of meat came from what animal, and you can link stuff that way. So it's pretty intense laboratory down in Ashland, Oregon. It's just a matter of getting our stuff in there because there's only one in the United States, and so they cover the entire United States.
Taking a moose during a closed season is considered a Class A misdemeanor offense. The maximum penalties include jail time, monetary fines, and forfeiture of firearms or equipment used in the kill. Yet, no penalty will be given until the investigation concludes. As for the meat?
At this point, we did allow the hunters to keep the meat. And there is a clause within the state statutes that does require if a person is found guilty of a type of crime like this that they would actually have to pay the state the restitution amount for that animal, which is set by the state legislature. And in this case, a moose is worth $1,000.
Sergeant Dobson said an answer should be clear within a few weeks when the moose season slows for officials.
I think it'll probably wrap up relatively soon. We're right in the middle of moose season, so troopers are busy trying to just do active day-to-day patrolling while this is going on, but once things start to slow down a little bit, we'll get an opportunity to kind of go back and get this completed. If, in fact, a crime was committed, it's already been committed. We can't change the fact. We don't suspect there's going to be any more additional crimes or potential crimes from these guys, and so it's not a rush case that we have to get it done right away. We want to make sure that we do everything proper, and if, in fact, a crime was committed, then we'll deal with that.
While moose were the bulk of the creatures brought into the check station this week, there was one brown bear put in front of biologists on Monday. Jerry Kane from Haines was in the Katsahine last weekend and was lucky to make it back home in one piece after a bear encounter that put his life in peril. Kane recounted the split decision that might have saved his hide.
Sunday evening, I was over in Kachin with some friends that were hunting moose, and with the warm weather, we decided we'd be leaving the next day. So I went off for a walk, being our last night there, and when I was charged at by a brown bear, he came out of the alders across the slough directly at me. I tried yelling, and within seconds just turned safety off and fired from my hip or the side of me, and just luckily hit the bear in the eye and dropped him.
Kane was using a .338 Winchester Magnum, a cartridge popular with hunting Alaska's big game. The shot went through the left eye of the Bruin, which Kane says wasn't very big, but was noticeably different than any he had seen before.
I've hunted black bear over the last 20 years here and gotten bears 13 and 18 years old in the past and seen worn teeth, but this bear had, you know, pretty much only had one canine and just a bunch of rounded off stubs, and just was just really roughed up, a real thin hide, and you know, but beautiful big large paws and claws and a big head, but just really rough in the teeth and scars and tumors on the back of them and injuries all over.
Kane properly skinned the bear and turned in the hide with claws and skull, as the state requires. The Department of Fish and Game classified the kill as a defense of life and property. Anthony Krupe is a biologist with the department. In his line of work, he sees bears of various ages and sizes from all over the area.
So it had all the looks of a very old bear. Its front incisors were worn down to almost nothing. Its gums were really calloused over, and its canine teeth were what was the most impressive. It had one solid canine tooth and one nearly almost missing, and then the other two were just sliced down all the way to the root and just barely hanging on, almost as if you were to take a carrot and slice it vertically. And just amazing that this animal has been able to continue to survive with the serious need of a trip to the dentist.
A bear known as Diver in Katmai National Park was believed to have lived at least 35 years, said Krupe, who spent some time researching there. Data reaching back to 1961 shows the Chilkat Valley's oldest bear on record was a 28-year-old male with a 26.5-inch skull harvested in 1990.
I see quite a few big male bears that come off of Admiralty, Baranof, and Chichikov, and I've taken some impressive photos of these teeth that just you couldn't even imagine a bear is making a living on a dental work like that. So this would be in line with some of these older bears. I would expect that it's in its late teens, if not 20s, and we will send off a tooth for analysis, and it often takes almost up to a year to get the results back from the Matson lab. But when that comes in, we'll share it with people in Haines and Skagway and Clock One.
The department generally takes tissue samples to identify genetic markers in the animal. The bear carcass went to the state since Kane didn't have a permit, a rarity for the bear hunter. Again, Jerry Kane.
No, I did not have a permit. We thought about getting one, and I've bought so many in the past. You know, I've had 20 just for these cases. I've bought like probably 20 in the past years and just never really ran into one. And unfortunately, this time did not have a permit and had to surrender the bear to the state. And after finding out more about the details of the bear, I heard that he could eventually be sold at auction, which I probably try to get the bear maybe later on if possible.
Even though the moose harvest has remained steady in the Chilkat Valley, biologists say it's better than south of here. Again, Fish and Game's Anthony Krupe.
Looking at moose hunts around southeast Alaska, Haines seems to have one of the highest harvests so far, given the weather conditions. I know Gustavus is up to 7 moose, and the area around Juneau, the Taku, and Chilkats are just a couple of animals trickling in here and there.
The antler-restricted Stikine River hunt based out of Petersburg hasn't had any moose reports yet, and the Yakutat moose hunt has seen one harvest from across the bay. Most of the Yakutat hunt opens in about 3 more weeks. The calendar on your wall dutifully decrees the beginning of autumn as September 22nd, but did you really need a piece of glossy paper to tell you that? One of the advantages of living in this part of the world, removed from the faraway lands made of air-conditioned mini-malls, heated bus stops, and a generally indoor lifestyle, is that people here already know when summer is definitely no more. I've heard you call it a feeling, like the urgency to get the net out a couple more times, finish up the canning, get the last berries picked, the firewood chopped, your wood stove ready, and begin to relocate all your chapstick and headlamps from the pockets of last year's winter gear. It's a feeling you can't really explain except by using the senses we actually pay attention to now, like smell or sight. Maybe we've grown to depend so much on that calendar that we've forgotten that our ancestors knew as much about changing seasons as we do now. When you really focus on it, you can, in your collective historical conscience, remember a time before we relied so much on calendars, when life took its cues from what the weather and the ground were doing, rather than whether the chart on the wall says Monday or Saturday at any given glance. It was a time when September was better known as Dis Yadi in some parts of southeast Alaska, which meant young animal's moon. The same people referred to July as Khadisi, or salmon moon, and December as Shanachdis, or unborn seals getting hair. So pay attention to the colors, smells, to animal behavior, and those feelings that are really more of a calendar than the one hanging on your wall. The leaves losing their green are a more honest indicator of an approaching winter than dates on a page anyway. And let those observations settle you enough to enjoy a peaceful winter, but energize you enough to last it. For KHNS Local News, I'm Tara Bicknell. If you miss a newscast or want to hear one again, check out khns.org and go to the listen page.